Ever wonder why your kid won't listen?
Ever wonder why your mom is so bossy?
Well, we do all the time. That's why we created our podcast,
Love These Mother Daughter Talks with Brynn and Flynn.
Through a series of open and honest conversations, Flynn and I hope to deepen our understanding of each other and help other parents and children deepen their understandings of what goes on in their day-to-day struggles.
And more.
We are officially now on the Podfix Network. Also, find us anywhere you download your podcasts. Hey, Flynn, I love these mother-daughter talks.
Me too. Let's see you in our next episode.
Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Hand number one, hand number two, hand number three, and hand number four. Let's do this.
And in 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more. Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. How are you, sir?
Well, I am energized by the wonderful performance by Chris DeVos. And if you're a TikTok fan, it's a Bones Day today. So it's been a great day. It's looking up. It's a little busy, but it's a Bones Day, and you know we're going to manifest some positivity here.
Well, I have a funny little story to tell you, actually.
Okay.
You know I have small children.
Of course.
And my smallest, my daughter, Ellie, who's about to turn 4 around Thanksgiving, she's a very bright little girl, and she says funny things all the time. And today, she said this. I walked into the kitchen, and I was wearing house shoes. Which, you know, whatever, they could be confused for just normal shoes. Anytime she sees me like dressed where she thinks I'm going somewhere, she always says, "Bye, Daddy," which is super sweet. And I said, no, Ellie, I'm not going anywhere. And she goes, "Oh, because you're wearing your leaving shoes." And I said, "No, actually, Ellie, these are my staying shoes."
That's like Captain Holt's husband on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Why are you wearing Kevin's rose shearing hat?
Yeah. So, listeners, if you would like to start calling your house shoes staying shoes, you can have that one.
You know, that's amazing. But I think it would have been better if you're like, she goes, "Bye, Daddy," and you're like, "Oh, I'm not leaving. I'm staying." She goes, "Oh, fuck you, Daddy,"
and then left the room.
Yeah, drops like whatever like bowl of something she has in her hand. It's a total mic drop. She totally got you, bro.
She was in the middle of doing something, but she didn't care because she wanted the exit. Yeah, so she thought I was wearing my leaving shoes.
No, those are not your driving moccasins. These are your staying shoes.
These are my staying shoes, yeah. So I will forever now be referring to house shoes as staying shoes.
Well, you are an avid endorsement. I think you have the authority to make that kind of a call.
Darn right. I can and I did.
Done.
Okay. Well, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week.
Do it.
Today, Adam and listeners, I hope you celebrated National Sand in Your Toes Day.
Of course.
Now, you either have to take off your staying or your leaving shoes in order to get sand in your toes, so hopefully you did that. Tomorrow is International Coffee Day, Adam.
My favorite.
Tuesday is National Donkey Day.
Yeah, a.k.a. Peter DeVilva's Fan Club Day.
Wednesday is National American Beer Day. Thursday is National First Responders Day. Friday is National Hermit Day, or National Me Day. And you can wrap up this week of wonderful celebrations on Saturday with National Candy Corn Day.
That's going to be a controversial day for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. I'm pro-candy corn. That's where I fall on that.
Well, two things. I'm also pro candy corn. And two, when you say National Sand in Your Toes Day, I don't like country music, but for a while, my former metal band was in like a southern rock band.
Uh-oh.
And we covered the song that goes like, "Got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand."
You covered that with a metal band.
Yeah. Well, we got asked to be country musicians for that, and we just turned it into like a southern rock, like Lynyrd Skynyrd type thing.
Oh, I'd like to have heard that. I am a big fan of Southern rock. Always have been.
Yeah, dude. And I also love candy corn.
All right, well, with that, let's turn our attention to This Week in History.
Well, you know how I feel about history, so it will be my treat.
You love history.
This Week in History is primarily going to take place in the 1900s, Tuff. I know how much you love the 1900s, so why don't you just, you know, hang with me here. Let's start off early. 1901, the first barrel ride down Niagara Falls occurred. 63-year-old school teacher Annie Edson Taylor, and she lived. If I'm not mistaken, they still have that like device in the museum at Niagara Falls. It's pretty cool. A couple of years later, in 1904, this is like pretty monumental. The New York City subway opens. Okay, that's cool. I did not realize that it had opened that long ago. I would not have guessed that. Two older subways of note, Boston, 1897, they opened. So that seems absurd to me. And even crazier, the London Tube opened in 1863. That's the world's oldest. I did not think the technology existed at that time to do that type of thing. That's crazy.
To put a train underground? Yeah, me either.
Yeah, let's just dig a hole and put a train in there.
Yeah, I would have thought putting a train above ground was about what was happening at that time.
In 1965, the St. Louis Gateway Arch is completed. Now, you notice it's not really just an arch. It's kind of like that swinging pendulum design. I forgot what they call it. In 1984, an infant receives a baboon heart.
That was you, wasn't it, Adam? Aren't you the one that got the baboon heart?
Nope, I was born before that. Sorry, friend.
Oh.
In 1986, the Red Sox first baseman Bill Buckner lets the ground ball roll through his legs, which cost him the World Series. Dude, that guy had the most tragic story with that. I mean, first of all, it happened, but then he was blamed for years. And then, like, they finally brought it back for, like, a redemption ceremony. And, like, we forgive you, Bill Buckner. It's like, man. It's like, forgive me? even in your, like, we're sorry speech, you still made it, like, about, like, his error. Like, that just sucks. But, I mean, man, what a heartbreaking ground ball. Moving forward about 10, 11 years. In 1997, Marv Albert faces sentencing in a sexual assault case. Good.
By the way, that was an insane story, which we've covered on the show some time back.
Yeah, you know, it's always good when people get their comeuppance, you know. The next year, in 1998, 77-year-old John Glenn returns to space, although I think William Shatner just kicked his ass by going to space this week.
Yeah, at the age of 90.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in your face, John Glenn.
In your face, John Glenn. Huh.
Yeah, I just think you can step it up, dude. He beat you by like 13 years, man. All right. And finally, we're going to break the 2000s. In 2003, the Concorde makes its final flight.
I have flown on the Concorde.
No kidding.
Yep. From Dallas to Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know that.
At like the age of 6.
What were you doing?
Flying on the Concorde with my family.
Wow. I mean, let's not forget to tribute the band, Fly to the Concords.
No, let's not do that.
That's good week in history, buddy. Good week in history.
All right, Adam, how about the news?
I love the news. And it's a jingle.
I keep wanting to claim that I've got a crazy story to tell you, but again, after the Alec Murdoch story, I don't know that I can ever say that again.
No.
Which, by the way, fans of that story, and I do mean fans, it is far from over.
Yeah.
And I don't have an update for you. There is updates. I'm not going to share them with you here. You can always listen to the podcast, The Murdoch Murders. It's continuing, and it's insane. But today's story, also kind of crazy, just not that crazy. A man arrested Monday night and charged in connection with the deaths of three people whose dismembered bodies were found in a burning dumpster last week, has been tied to two other slayings, and has confessed to the killings, saying he was committing biblical sacrifice.
And the blood cult continues.
Now, before I go any further, what I'd like to say is, if he's doing what he says is a biblical sacrifice, he needs to go ahead and keep reading, because in the next major section of the book, they don't do that anymore.
Right.
So it's a real shame that he's turned to murdering multiple people and doing biblical sacrifices just because he hasn't finished the book yet.
Dude, everybody knows you have to read all the way through. Like, the reverses to the curses are in the end of the book.
Yes, so if I was going to give this particular guy some advice, I would say, stop killing people, finish the book.
Read on. Yeah,
finish the book, then decide if you want to keep killing people.
And in fact, you don't even have to finish the book. Just read a little few more chapters.
yeah. Just read a little further. You realize you don't have to do this.
Yeah, you can save yourself a lot of time. But then you have no excuse that you have no reason to kill people, which is what you're looking for. So
perhaps. So Jason Allen Thornburg, age 41, was booked into the Tarrant County Jail at about 11:30 p.m. Monday. By the way, Tarrant County is the county that I grew up in.
No kidding. Did you fly the Concorde there?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, my parents and younger sister still live there.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I'll circle back to that later in the story. So he's booked on charges of capital murder of multiple persons. I like the phrase multiple persons.
In capital.
He's currently being held in the jail on a $1 million bond, Adam.
See, now we're talking. Finally, an appropriate bond.
My thoughts exactly. Yes. I knew you would react that way.
It's like you're a five-time murderer, you get a jaywalking bond.
That's why I emphasized that fact in the story, because I knew you would get it.
God.
So here's what went down. Last Wednesday, Fort Worth firefighters were called to a dumpster fire on the city's west side. After putting out the fire, firefighters made a horrible discovery when they spotted the burned, dismembered remains of three people inside the trash bin. One of the victims had some very distinctive tattoos and was identified as a 42-year-old guy named David Lurris, a man who apparently has a long criminal record himself tied to some crimes in Dallas and Tarrant County. So he's not discriminating. And while it's not clear how he and Thornburg knew each other, apparently the two men were sharing the same room at the Mid-City Inn for several days. Now, when I say Mid-City Inn, briefly describe what you think that is.
I think of like a Motel 6 with like a flashing sign because like the light bulbs are going out and you have to enter from the outside. That type of place.
That's exactly right. It's one of those very low budget, sometimes one story.
Yeah.
Old hotels that were built in like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. That hotel is only a few blocks from my dad's office.
Yeah.
I have passed by that place dozens, possibly hundreds of times in my lifetime.
Wow.
I know exactly where that is. The two other victims found in the dumpster were both adult women. Fort Worth police say that surveillance near the dumpster showed the person they believe dumped the bodies was driving a 2005 to 2010 Jeep Cherokee, Jeep Grand Cherokee. Now you're like, okay, that's helpful. But there's roughly 7,000 of those vehicles in North Texas that they had to narrow it down to. Now, fortunately, Mr. Thornburg's Jeep had some very specific chrome rims on it, and so they narrowed it down, and that's how I identified that it was him.
Wow.
Yes. Also, Thornburg, who worked as an electrician, was a person of interest in the suspicious deaths of his roommate, 61-year-old Mark Jewell, whose body was found inside their burning home on Valentine Street on May 21st. That's in Arlington, which is just south of there. Now, in that instance, the medical examiner was not able to determine the man's cause of death due to the explosion in the home. He didn't just murder the guy. He didn't just light the house on fire. He also made sure that it exploded.
If you got to cover your tracks, you know.
And by the way, mission accomplished. He did just that. Though he was investigated at the time, officials say they didn't have probable cause to arrest him. So he'd already interacted with the police around some of these suspicious deaths. So using GPS data, which I don't totally understand how that works. How do you use GPS just to locate it? Is it like a new enough car that maybe it's got like OnStar or something like that?
Well, he could have had OnStar or LoJack. You know, he could have had any number of like tracking things on there for maintenance.
Well, whatever. They used GPS data to locate his SUV at a residence in Arlington and learned he'd recently been staying at the Mid-Cities Inn since June 28th. So, by the way, and this is October because this just happened in the last couple weeks, if you've been staying at the Mid-Cities Inn for the last 2 months, things are not going well for you.
No, not at all.
Basically, they looked at some surveillance video. Basically, they showed a guest at the hotel exiting a room carrying large bins that police believe contained the dismembered remains of the three victims, and said that the motel guest made several trips from the room to the car and from the hotel to the dumpster. So they've got all this on tape. So here's where it gets even more peculiar. They approached Thornburg as he left the residence in Arlington and asked if he'd consent to a voluntary interview. He agreed. He's like, hey, can we talk to you? He's like, sure, I'll do that. So they take him in, and it doesn't say that it was like a long interrogation. It just says that Thornburg admitted to his involvements in the deaths of the people found in the dumpster, as well as the man who was found in the home on Valentine Street.
Yeah, I just feel like he's not that bright. So he's like, oh, I'm gonna agree to this interview. So that way it seems like I'm innocent. And then he immediately like, hey, dude, you got it. He's like, oh, well, I guess you got me. You know, like it doesn't seem like a criminal mastermind.
It just seems like he gave up kind of easily, in my opinion.
Okay, also, though, he's not smart, because if you watch even a shred of TV at all, you know that bodies don't just like burn in like the way that you think, and then like to a pile of ash. Like, it's not like a piece of wood. So like, you're definitely going to get caught, unless of course you blow it up. So it's like, right. I mean, if you just watch your basic TV channel program, and you'll know that that's not going to work. So,
but that's also a good point, Adam, because exploding the body, her burning the body and exploding the home worked the first time. Why didn't he use that method again?
Yeah, I mean, dude, you got too much going on, pal. You're not smart.
Well, in addition to that, he also admitted to killing his girlfriend in Arizona.
Okay, well, now he's an idiot.
Yeah, so pretty much whatever they asked him to confess to, he's like, yep, I did that.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. I did that.
Totally me.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Authorities added that the killings in the motel were apparently done over several days, and that the remains were stored in plastic bags until they were transferred to the containers.
Dude, that's so weird.
Adam, I apologize to you and the listener. We don't have time to get to our next story.
Dude, come on, man. Come on.
But I do have a headline.
All right.
A man says a squirrel filled the hood of his truck with 350 pounds of walnuts.
Okay, I saw that. And it's amazing. It is amazing.
I got to stop you right there, Adam. We don't have time to get to it.
Oh, come on. But there's just one thing. Okay, but the last thing I'll say about it is...
I'm sorry, Adam. I'm sorry. We will make every possible effort to get to this in a future episode.
All right, fine. Fine.
Instead, Adam, how about birthdays?
I love birthdays. I love birthdays. So why don't I do a rapid fire? First of all, Drake turns 35. And of all the birthdays I could care less about in this world, he's at the top of the list.
He is Canadian.
Yeah. America's hat. Okay. Moving on.
America's hat.
So to rapid fire these, Katy Perry turns 37. John Heater turns 44. And I love him because he is Napoleon Dynamite.
Tina, you fat lard, come get some dinner.
I love that movie. Joaquin Phoenix turns 47. Winona Ryder, that little thief, turns 50. Julia Roberts, 54. She's basically immortally beautiful. Carrie Hughes, 59. Buddy, I know you know who this is.
Of course.
As you wish.
Wesley? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. The Dread Pirate Roberts. God, what a great movie. All right. Nancy Cartwright turns 64. Dan Castellaneta, he from The Simpsons fame, he turns 64. Pat Sajak turns 75. That seems insane to me. Henry Winkler, still plugging along at 76. And John Cleese, 82. He is a funny mofo.
By the way, Nancy Cartwright is also a cast member of The Simpsons.
Yes, that's right. It's Bart.
Yes, it is.
And they both turned 64. What a coincidence.
Yep. In the same week.
Yeah, This Week in History.
And it gives me a chance to plug a new podcast of the Podfix Network, the Best Darn Diddly Podcast, which is an episode-by-episode podcast about The Simpsons.
But I'm sure they don't talk about Ned Flanders with a title like that.
No, they would never.
Yeah. What a good set of birthdays, mostly, except for Drake.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
Thank you, Clay Groves. I actually have two people, Adam, that were born on this day but are now dead.
Oh, snap.
First, Pablo Picasso died in 1973.
Isn't that weird? Like, he seems like he'd be, like, in, like, ancient times, not recent.
I agree. He died at the age of 91. Today, he would have been 140. And nice. John Adams died in 1826 at the age of 90. Today, he would have been 286.
Those died at ripe old ages.
And Adam, I have one more thing before we go.
I love one more thing. It's not that Colin Powell died, right?
No.
Colin Powell.
Was it not Colin Powell?
Is Colin? Colin.
Either way, he's no longer with us.
Nope. He's recently deceased, Colin Powell. And by that, I mean my condolences.
To his family here in the front row as we do a very poor job of eulogizing the late Colin Powell.
It's unfortunate that he died. I think he was a good centrist for the polarizing parties right now.
And by the way, whichever way is the correct way to say your name, if you'd like to call into the hotline, set the record straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome to do that before, during, or after the onboarding process.
Well, there are a couple of cues you can get in there, so you might just do it during that time.
Yeah, so give us a call. Clear up the misunderstanding of which is the correct way to say your name.
Right. CP. What's up, CP? C-Pow.
All right, well, one more thing before we go. We got a call on the hotline, Adam, and I'm just going to play that call now.
Go for it.
Well, hey, Adam. Hey, Tolf. This is Kenneth. I live up north, and I listen to the show on the internet, and sometimes on my phone also. And I really like the show, you know, but I've got a suggestion of how I think it could be better even. Adam, I think you should get a new co-host. And as a matter of fact, I think it should be me. And so I reached out to Tolf, and I said, hey, Tolf. I sent him an email, and I said, Tolf, what do you think about me replacing you as the co-host? I don't know about forever, but let's just try it out. And he emailed me back and said, sure, let's give it a try. But you got to talk to Adam. It's really his decision. And so, Adam, I'm asking you, you know, could I replace Tolf as the co-host? And I think it'd be really good. And, you know, let's just see how it goes. So, you know, let me know. Let me know. Would you give me a call or something? I think it would really help the show. All right. Bye-bye now.
I didn't catch his name. What was his name?
I think it was Kenneth.
Kenneth. And where is Kenneth from?
Well, he didn't say. He just said up north.
Up north. I mean, that could be anywhere.
The way it sounded, it could have been Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Or Wisconsin. Or maybe from Canada.
Maybe from Canada, right? Maybe from Nova Scotia. Yeah, anywhere.
Yeah. One of the Dakotas. I'm not sure. I don't know. He didn't say.
I just feel like there's a lot of people gunning for your job, buddy.
Yeah, I think the silver lining is that, you know, you're out once in a while, so I've found some people to fill in for you. So I think it's smart for you to consider these people's requests, because if ever I have to step out, whether I do it voluntarily or I acquiesce to their request, it's nice that you have some options.
It feels good to know there are people out there. I just don't know if I could bear to part with you, buddy. I mean, as before, Chris DeVos came in here and replaced me just like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, easily. Didn't skip a beat.
Not even a little bit. So, just don't feel like it's the same with you, buddy. You know?
Oh, likewise. We've said before, as the guests have come on in the last several weeks, I've enjoyed every single experience. Of course, it's not the same as doing the show with you.
Well, I think we ought to have Kenneth on, maybe. We'll start there. We'll see if that's a good way to see if he's got if he can cut the mustard if you're ever unavailable.
Well, there's one more message, so let me play that one
Okay.
Before we go. I just want to play that, see what... Because I think it might be him again. I think he might have called back because the number was the same.
Okay.
Let's just really see what he has to say.
Oh, hey, Toph. Hey, Adam. Hey, this is Kenneth.
Hey, Kenneth.
Adam, I got some bad news for you. I don't think I'm going to be able to co-host the podcast with you here coming up. You see, I got myself into a bit of trouble. My next-door neighbor, you know, he's a bit of a troublemaker, and he came over the other day, and he was, boy, he was angry for some reason. And I was just out there shoveling snow, you know, my own business. And I didn't know what to do, so I took a swing at him, and, you know, I was holding my snow shovel. And I, you know, he's got real bad reflexes, so I caught him right upside the head, and he went down like a sack of potatoes. And I, you know, because I hit him real good, and you know, I didn't know what to do, and there was some blood, you know, and I'm not worried about that because I covered it up with the shovel, you know, some snow real quick, and I went and put my shovel down in the basement. But I got to sort this thing out, so I'll get back to you, you know, after I figure it out, and maybe we'll do it another time. Okay now. Well, all righty. Bye-bye now.
Okay, well, was it a golden shovel at least?
I mean, I guess problem solved. I get take them off the list.
Yeah, so, okay, well, that leaves me one less substitute. And do you think he's by any chance a neighbors with Luke currently?
I don't know, but it sounds like he might have murdered someone.
It sounds like he might have murdered someone, right. And instead of doing the proper thing like calling the authorities... He's making it worse for himself.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he covered him up real good and then put away the shovel.
I just think we should, like, rewind the tape to when you were telling a story about a guy who tried to put people in the dumpster for murdering them and then got caught.
Oh, no, this is totally different. This sounds like a classic case of self-defense. So I mean, I think Kenneth's in the clear.
But yeah, I just feel like he doesn't have to hide the body in order to have a safe, proven case of, you know...
Well, I think it's too late for that now, Adam. The deed is done.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. So I guess, in any case, he's unavailable for hosting duties.
Yeah, I guess scratch his name off the list. Now, one thing I will, if Kenneth is listening, and I hope he is, either on the internet or his phone, Kenneth, when the weather warms up again, the snow's going to melt, and, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a dead body laying there.
Yeah. And everybody's got a Ring doorbell now, so you may get caught on camera.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, kind of think that through a little bit. So you may have to get your shovel and you might have some more work to do, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, you just need to start preparing, you know?
Yeah, for the thaw.
Right.
Now you got a few months. I mean, you might have until April or May.
This is like 3 months from now, Ken's problem.
Yeah, I'm a plan ahead guy, so I'm just advising Kenneth to do the same. I'm just saying, do some planning ahead.
Yeah, yeah. He may or may not take that advice.
Yeah, whatever. All right, well, Adam, that brings us to the end of this episode of This Week Today.
What a great episode, buddy. I love doing this with you.
Some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching @ThisWeekPod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936, or if you want to call in and turn Kenneth in for possibly murdering his neighbor. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search @PodFix on Twitter. Check out the lineup of new shows we've added recently. Thank you to our friend Phil Rude for our custom logo. For my pal Lord Saunders, I'm your co-host Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
Y'all come back now, yeah?
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
In your face, John Glenn.